Blog Talk Radio. It is me, your host, Reverend Willie J. Vann Jr., bringing you greetings from the nation's capital of Washington, D.C., the Northeast Corridor specifically. And we are so thankful for you and praying that you are doing wonderful. You got to know and you got to believe and that you are blessed. Despite the circumstances and your situation, you are blessed. And it's not because of the materialistic stuff that you have. No, it's not just because of that. You are blessed because you have health. And not just because of that, but you have a relationship to one true God. You have a relationship with our Father. And because of that, we count it all joy. So we thank God for you. As always, we appreciate those who are called in live and those who will listen to the rebroadcast of tonight's show. We thank God for you and you and you. Further ado, let us have a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you for how you blessed us and how you walked over us. We thank you, Lord God, how you made a way out of nowhere. We thank you, Lord God, because there was a time where we didn't know about our relationship. But yet you still loved us and you took care of us and you blessed us. And for that, Lord God, we just want to say thank you. We are appreciative for all of the things that you have done. We are thankful for you being able to watch over us. We thank you for our family. We thank you for our friends. Thank you, Lord God, for those who will try to come up against us. We understand that, Lord God, that they're not coming up against us, that we're not being persecuted because of us, but we're being persecuted because of who we are in connection to who you are. And for that, Lord God, we just say thank you. We appreciate the fact, Lord God, that in most of the world, this is considered Holy Week. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing your Son to come and be our ultimate sacrifice, that he is the one who has come to reconnect us back to you. We know that the sin of our lives, the sins that Adam committed, that they separated, that they caused a rift between you and mankind. But, Lord God, we praise you for your Redeemer, for your Son, for allowing him to be the sacrifice that will reconnect us back to you. Because, Lord God, you are the source of everything we need, everything we want, everything we desire. And if you ever find us, Lord God, wanting or desiring or pleading for something more than you, Lord God, grant us wisdom to see. Grant us patience that we will come to a realization that there's nothing better than you. Again, Lord God, we just want to say thank you. Pray for all those who might be going through some sort of physical ailment, those who are sick and shut in, those who might be incarcerated, those who might be in jail. We pray blessings upon you. We pray that the spirit of love from God Almighty will come and fill your heart and your soul. And you'll know that it was no one but God. We give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, we praise God again for you, my brothers and sisters. I pray that you're able to hear me. I have a new earpiece tonight, and we're trying to figure it out. Earbuds and only able to get one of them to work. So we praise God for even technology and how God is blessing us. Well, as always, let me just say this up front. We, again, thank God for Omega Ministry Group. We partnered up with them, and we thank God for its leader, the good Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and his queen, Tammy Storr. I thank God out of McDonough, Atlanta area. We thank God for them and their leadership. And so we praise God for them. Now, on Monday night, you can hear a word from them, from this dynamic duo from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We thank God for them and being able to share on oneness. Not just oneness between a man and woman, but oneness between a father and children, or brothers, or mother with someone, or even a father with a child. So, again, we will continue to listen to them every Monday night from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and then from 9:30 to 10 o'clock, you have Minister Leah Killian. On Wednesday night, it's yours truly from 8:30 to 9:30. And then on Thursdays, you have Bishop George Flint. And then that's every Thursday. And then on the weekend, on Saturday, Brother Amos Collins is comes to share a word from God. So, again, Monday night, we have Dr. Storr from 8 to 9, Minister Leah Killian from 9:30 to 10, yours truly on Wednesday night, on Thursday night, Bishop George Flint from 8 to 9, and then on Saturday from 1 to 2, I believe, Minister Amos Joseph Collins. Well, we've already shared and we talked about the fact that this week is Holy Week. We praise God for the example that His Son has set and all that His Son has done for our lives. We praise God that during this week, people will go to service and go to the house of the Lord and be a part of this time to just to hear what God has to say to His man or woman servant. We know that there are a lot of people who might not go all year long, but out of that Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day program or group. But nevertheless, we just praise God and ask that you make sure that you get there. You know, before return to Jesus Christ. Tonight we just want to really just deal with this Holy Week, deal with this time of festivity where we celebrate the burial, the death, burial, I don't know why my tongue being lazy today, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we understand that on the kind of go throughout this week or before that Jesus has already expressed the fact that He comes to do the work of the Father, that one, He claims and verifies that He is the Son of God, and by being the Son of God, He has all power the same power that our Father has. And because of that, then he decides, or rather God has need of him to be our ultimate sacrifice. Again, we understand that in the book of Genesis, that because of listening to the fact God, that Adam and Eve, they partook of the forbidden tree. And because of that, God, they understood that they were naked, and they started running from God. And how can you really run from God? And God, as I always say, is the ultimate father, because he always asks you questions that you know the answer to, and you know he already knows the answer to. But yet he asks him the question, and where are you? What's going on? And they say, we're naked, and we feel a change. And, you know, the whole, he asks, well, how do you know? How do you know you're naked? And he said, Adam, that is, he now speaks up, where before he wasn't speaking up against Satan, when Eve was offering him the fruit. I hate to say an apple, because it could have been easily a banana, or it could have been an orange or a pear or anything. And all of that really is irrelevant, because what's more important is, because of their disobedience, Adam and Eve, they were cast out of paradise, or cast out of Eden. Time and deal with the fact that we now have to make a sacrifice to God, that God calls us, mankind, to sacrifice, to show our allegiance and our love for him, and to praise him. Not that he needs us, but the fact that we need him, and we need to give him honor. And because of that, come and deal with all these different sacrifices, all these offerings. And so, looking throughout time, God, Jesus goes and says, you know what? I need to be the ultimate sacrifice, because nothing is going to take away their sin. Let my blood be the ultimate sacrifice to take away the sins of the world, the sins that have passed, the time, and those sins to come. And because of this, God allows them, or tells them, and then he lives, and he grows old, he performs miracles, he teaches in the synagogue. But yet, the religious known better, those who were scripture reading and scripture quoting, or rather misquoting, that these are the people who then who came up against who Jesus was. And you got to understand that even back then, he was a lucrative money commodity. There were a lot of people that made a lot of money back then, and so forth now. So because of that, then he goes and lives his life, and it comes time of Passover, and we find him preaching in the synagogue, teaching with on a mount, on boat on the seashore, wherever God tells him to go and share. I was listening to a friend of mine today. He was doing a Periscope, and he said that he was going to shut down and go away for a little while because he just says he feels burnt out and he doesn't want to do anything that is haphazard or not his all in all. And I said, yeah, man, if Jesus, rather, if God can rest on the seventh day, why is it that we feel we need to work 7 days a week? Why is it that we feel we need to go out and do stuff when God is calling us sometimes to rest? And I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, that's a difficult task and about what is it that I have to do next? Where is it the next thing I need to go? What meetings do I have for tomorrow? And then the Holy Spirit gives me the instructions and tells me that I ought to enjoy today because no man knows what tomorrow holds for them, what future they might have. So if he who is God, all powerful, all knowing, can rest one day to be able to rest one day. So Jesus is teaching and he has these 12 disciples, and as he is teaching and sharing with them, he understands that it is now time for him to pay the ultimate price. He developed, or not a price that he called, but a price knowing that no one or nothing else could fulfill this sacrifice. There was nothing that could take, be a better substitute sin than the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I hear you talking. What are you talking about? How can Jesus' blood bless me today? Well, we have to look at it and see and understand that because of what he did, that's Jesus, as Lord and Savior. And then we have to accept God as our Father. Now, I know and I understand a lot of people be like, my daddy dead and gone, or I never knew my daddy or my father. All of that is irrelevant. What you need to be concerned about is that now God is your Father. The one who is ultimate, the one who has all power, who is all knowing. The one who controls the blood in your system. The one that controls your heart to regulate properly. Sin debt that we obtain. No one else, again, or nothing else could pay this debt. And in reality, I don't think I want anything else to pay the debt. Because, again, we've had sacrifices. We perform sacrifices. But nothing compared to our Lord and Savior. So, what we're going to do We're going to take a quick break. And as always, we thank God for all those who, again, who are listening live and all of those who are listening to the rebroadcast. And I pray that something that is being said is going, is blessing you, is pushing you to be better and to do better. Okay, here we go. Let's play this song. What we're going to do, we're going to ask you to please go get some water, something to drink, and we'll be right back.
I believe I will get there if I trust the path he's laid. I can't see him, but he's there. I'll just follow as he leads the way, because I know that God will. Anybody believe that? I know that God will make a way. I try to mend, I know that God will make a way. I really believe He will make a way. Come on. He'll make a way. Cause even if you have to open the sea, I know I'll make it because you are my guide. That's why we say that God will make a way. Look at somebody and just declare it. Say,
God will make a way.
Try to bend on the
way.
testifying. He will.
That's right. God will make a way. God has made a way for each one of you that's on this line. You got to know and believe that God has made a way for you. Again, we get caught up. We get caught up looking at everything else except what we ought to be focusing on and keeping our eye on. So we need to, even during this week, this Holy Week, let us take our time to ask God, what is it that I need to give to you so you can have me in totality? What areas of my life do I need to turn over to you so that you can get more glory from me? Sit on, be quiet, and ask, and let God speak to you. So, here we are. With Jesus is about to be betrayed. Let's go back to what happened on last Sunday. Last Sunday, we laid palms at the feet of the entry of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes in on a donkey, which is not disrespectful, but to come in on a donkey means that you came either in peace or to prophetic. And we understand that Jesus came and died everyone. That's why we have to be so careful when we come up against issues and situations and people. I pray that we never get caught up, that we really realize that it's Satan that is our disobedience that's causing a rift between us and God, standing right there with his hands open, waiting for you to come. And I don't know where you might be listening from tonight. I don't know where, what part of the country, but I pray that you have a relationship with our Father. That relationship is through Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship, you can email me at jvan91@yahoo.com, and I will make sure that you get connected to a Bible-based Jesus Christ teaching and believing and teaching. Gathering of saints, man. I don't know how I just jumped the gun, but God just told me to make the appeal now. And I guess that's important. Not that I guess it is important, because we really don't know how long we have or what's going to happen from day to day. So, Jesus comes in. The people are jeering him, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, King, risen King, Son of God." And then some 4 days later, the Pharisees and Sadducees, those who are religious leaders, say, "We got to kill this guy. We got to get rid of him. He's messing up our profit. He's messing up our money." In order to be the ultimate sacrifice. And there's nothing that God doesn't know and that Jesus doesn't know. He has a one last dinner with his disciples in the upper room. Eddie Murphy is like the upper room. Neither him or me can sing, but nevertheless, Jesus has a meal, and then he has a conversation with these men and shows them and tells them how they ought to conduct themselves because he is about to ascend back to the Father, to the Mount of Olives, and there he is betrayed by one of his own, by one of his disciples. Well, he gets betrayed, Judas betrays Jesus, and Jesus is apprehended. And Roman law, rather, that they could allow the freedom of an enslaved person. And so they come to a place where they have to make a choice, either Barabbas or Jesus. And the crowd called for Barabbas to let him go and be free. Now, I know that sounds like a bad thing, but in reality, it is a great thing because of the fact that now this puts Jesus in prime position to die on the cross for our sins. The Roman soldiers come and take him up. They whip him all night. The next day, which is on a Friday, they whip him so bad that he's unrecognizable. But because of who he is, he's always recognized. Maybe not in the physical, but in the flesh. So Jesus goes on the Mount of Olives. This one point that I always make sure that I lift up. There was a time that Jesus said to God, and immediately he started thinking about what was his purpose. He started thinking about what he needed to do. And so because of that, we also understand that there will be doubts in our minds sometimes, that we will probably be in fear. But let us stand tall just as our Savior stood tall and said, "Not my will, but thy will be done, Lord God." So go all heal Calvary, and he is then set in between two thieves, two criminals, and they are all being crucified, being on a, because they have nailed their hands to the cross. They nailed his feet all in order to make him to try to break him, put him in a place where he will want to give up and not be the ultimate sacrifice. It's an agony experience. So on this Good Friday, you will, just as back then, try to last, that's called the last seven things of Jesus Christ on the cross. Let me read those right quick. The first one is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. The second word is, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. The third is, speaking to John and Mary, dear woman, here's your son. Dear man, here's your mother. Word is, my God, why have you forsaken me? The fifth word is, I am thirsty, or I thirst. The sixth word is, it is finished. And the last word of Jesus Christ on the cross is, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So we see that Jesus has died. Now, he goes, he commits his body. I mean, he commits his spirit, his soul to Jesus. But his body stays here. It is then put in a bar tomb. And 3 days later, because they were not allowed to touch the undead or prepare the undead on that Friday, so he had Friday evening, all day Saturday, and then on Sunday morning, you have Mary and Martha running to the grave site to anoint him, and they find out that there's no body. The robes were neatly folded on the table. So it wasn't that Jesus snuck out, or that Jesus got lifted and pulled out. Jesus just got up and walked out. And I think this might be our last. My brothers and my sisters, sometimes it's good for us to walk. Walk out of our cave. Our cave of relationships. Our cave of depression. Our cave of anything that will hold us back. Anything that will hold us back from believing and trusting who God is. During this Easter or Resurrection Sunday, I want to challenge you to think about what cave you might be in. What ball tomb do you have an area of your life in? And then I will ask you to get up and walk, to redo it as a sign of you letting go of whatever was holding you back. We all find ourselves sometimes in a cave, in a tomb, or rather a tomb, because we thought we were dead. What we should have realized is that whatever was holding us back should be dead. It should be left in the tomb. But that we should get up and walk. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for the life of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We just briefly wanted just to go over passionately. Father. He wanted to make sure that everyone had an opportunity to come and develop a relationship with you. I thank you, Lord God, for allowing your Son to be the offering and sacrifice, for allowing your Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Oh God, I don't live just to get to heaven. I live to give you honor and to give you glory. So whatever, Lord, whatever thing that is trying to separate us, because your word said nothing shall separate you from the love of God. So God, fortify all of our relationship to God. May we not be selfish with our praise and our purpose. So we thank you, Lord God. We pray that people will have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. But may they always understand it's not about the Easter egg. It's not about the new suit, but it's about being a servant. Oh God, this is my prayer today, this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, just briefly wanted to go over, really, this what was on my heart to kind of go over this Passion Week. Let me do this now. I have a little time. If there's anyone that's on the line that would like to ask a question or make a comment, one on your phone, and we'll be able to unmute your mic. For those who might be looking to the rebroadcast, you can send me an email at jvan91@yahoo.com, and I will definitely respond. So we just thank God for each one of you all. We understand that God is blessing us, that he has blessed us, and he will continue to bless us. You have a great Resurrection Sunday. Is there one that would like to make a comment? No? Yeah, I pray that you have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. And we will talk to you next Wednesday. As always, peace and love. Reverend Willie J. Van Jr.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I just need my one-on-one time with you. No interruptions. I just want it to be me and you. I need a one-on-one. I just need a one-on-one with you. Questions that just need a one-on-one. I know it's been a long time since you've heard from me. But if you just give me a little time, if you just give me a little time, I promise I won't be long.
I just need
my one-on-one. I know I walked away, but I'm coming back to stay with you. I'm coming back to you, to you.
Worth fighting for. y'all help me say that. Say it one more time for me. It's happening.
Victory is mine today.